Fundamentalism. I presume we all know what that is, don't we? You know, fundamentalist. That person thinks that the world was created in 6 days. Or that fundamentalist has gone and killed lots of people. Or that fundamentalist thinks the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or whatever is inerrant, i.e. without mistake, holy book. But fundamentalism, as a term, was actually invented in America at the beginning of the 20th century, because they wrote 12 texts, a set of essays, and they called them the fundamentals. Unless you believe these, you are a heretic. And by the way, just in case you don't know this, heretic means, it's actually from Greek, which means choice. Heresis, choice. I choose this rather than that. It's a bit like a menu. So heretic was actually that which one chooses to believe. That's just an historical point. So fundamentalism is a modern notion. And strangely, we see this in all the Abrahamic faiths. And we also see it in science, where everyone says, my precious in a Tolkienian sense, this is the ring that should control everything. So you're a Jew, you're a Muslim, you're a Christian, or you're an atheist. You're actually trying to control everything, my precious. Whether it be through the Quran, whether it be the Bible, whether it be the Torah, or whether it be, I presume, the science of physics. We'll get to that. So it's a modern invention. And here we see a scientific version of it. Darwinian fundamentalism, or ultra-Darwinism, which is not a religious slight, a pejorative. This was invented, coined, by a very famous Harvard paleontologist, Stephen Jay Gould, who didn't like the fact that they were using my precious Darwinian evolutionary theory to make it a universal theory, applicable to everything. Why Shakespeare wrote, why you love her, why you love him, why you do this, why you eat that. They thought it was a universal asset. It was just Dennett's famous phrase, a universal asset that would, for example, if you think about it, evolutionary theory is simply a biological theory, isn't it? It describes how we came about. Yeah? The warm little pond, as Darwin said, till we have dolphins. And it does a pretty good job at explaining that. So the universal asset, which is really interesting. So there you are in a biology lecture hall, and someone explains to you evolution by natural selection. Right. So here's evolution. You've got variation, heritability, and competition within that. Yeah. So here we get our dolphin in the end of time. Yeah. But what this universal asset tried to say was, it spilt out of the lecture hall of biology and spread like an acid, ripping off the architrave, off the door, and subsumed philosophy, literature, history, everything you do. It's all explained by this universal theory. And Stephen Jay Gould called that fundamentalism, scientific fundamentalism, my precious, the one ring. Whether religious or scientific. Now, Simon Comey Morris has the chair in evolutionary paleobiology at Cambridge, one of the most famous evolutionary theorists in the world. I used to think, oh, this is not good. This is not good. It's a bit, the way he's looking at it, he's going, hold on a minute. I've done all this research and stuff. But you're a bit like one of those people at the side of the road with a placard going, the end of the world is nigh. You're a fundamentalist. So Stephen Jay Gould, the atheist, coins the phrase. Simon Comey Morris goes, this is a bit risky. Now, science gone mad. Ernst Rutherford, very, very, very famous scientist. All science, either physics or stamp collecting. Chemistry, it's called. Biology's gone. Psychology's gone. Philosophy's gone. Theology's gone. Stamp collecting. You're a geek if you think there's something called the periodic table. There's something called a species. It's Watson, one of the co-discoverers of DNA in 1953, I presume, they ran into the Eagle in Cambridge as a pub, and they went, we have discovered the recipe of life. And look what they say. There are only molecules, everything else is sociology. Only molecules, everything else is sociology. We've got to ask yourself, for example, and we'll get to this, why would they even tell you that? If that's the case. But you, everything you're made of, in the morning, your molecules, your neurons, your synapses, everything, there is no you. There is no Shakespeare. There is no Messi. There is no Mozart. There is no Bach. There is no whatever you can think. There's no mummy or daddy. There's nothing at all. There's simply molecules in a dance. Which actually echo of some of 2,500 years ago, Democritus, who said there's nothing but atoms and void. Atom, by the way, means that which cannot be split in Greek, which of course we know it can be, hence nuclear power, but of course we still keep the word atom, but that will come to that. Nihilism. Now, nihilism means nothingness. There is nothing. And it was coined by a guy called Jacobi in response to another German philosopher called Kant and Fichte, his student. And he said, this is nihilism. This is nothingness. And of course, Friedrich Nietzsche was the famous bloke who took this up and ran with that ball and said, God is dead and we have killed him. There is nothingness, this nihilism. But he blamed us for that. And funny enough, Nietzsche, one of the great nihilists, fantastic bloke, do read him, would have hated someone like Richard Dawkins. In fact, he had a term for them called last men, where they thought that their atheism was like a cappuccino. Whereas for Nietzsche, it was a sponge that wiped away the horizon. No up, no down, no left, no right, no good, nor bad, nothing. That means no genocide, that means no rape, that means no love, that means no anything.